This hour of Overdrive, powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts.
The show with nonstop chirps.
A one-size-fits-all. Yeah,
that's
not
where you need
this. Your
yeah, you need the stretchy thing on the back.
Eight. Do you have anything in like an 8 3/8?
8 7/8 to make it right.
That is
wow.
Huge.
You're like the Goonies,
that's
the guy from
that
the Goonies.
Computer screen.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Toronto, Ontario, Canada, the center of the sports world right now, Noodles.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. Center of the sports universe. I think so, with the Raptors with another win last night. They didn't just win, they dismantled the world champs. Dismantled the Golden State Warriors without Kawhi Leonard on a back-to-back.
They won the championship last night?
That was the championship, yes. The parade is when they return home next week. We've been waiting for a parade.
I was wondering when I was watching the score, I'm like, how is this going to play in Toronto? Like, is it because, like, did Golden State look at this like this is the finals? Like, or did they like look at it like this is game whatever? 30?
I'm going to grant them a little bit more credit. Yeah. I don't think Golden State lost sleep last night that they lost.
But
I don't
think they're good for really the Raptors.
Worried. Yes,
it's very good for them.
This is what we said a couple of weeks ago when they beat Golden State, and even after they beat, I think it was Philly last week, and it was a nationally televised game. And
well, they're getting play,
and ESPN was up here all day with the All Access and stuff. Outside of beating Golden State, or maybe a team with LeBron James on it, there's no such thing as a statement win during the regular season.
Right.
But last night featured the Golden State Warriors in their building.
Yeah.
They were rested. They were ready to go, fully healthy. And the Raptors put forth one of the best efforts I've seen them put forth in the regular season. And hyperbole gets thrown around all the time.
Right.
You know, that's the business that we're in. We all throw out, you know, crazy, exaggerated takes. The most notable regular season win in history was the 95-96 season when the 72-win Bulls, it was the inaugural season of the Raptors.
Yeah, that's
Jordan came in. They were partying the night before.
They were all hungover.
The game was at the Dome, and the Raptors beat them. They lost 10 games all season. One of those losses was against an expansion team, Raptors.
Yes.
That is in, like, a different category, because it doesn't make sense. It's strange. It still doesn't. Like, I still can't wrap my head around it.
Like, if we ever get one of the players from that, like, if we ever landed Jordan and had to ask him a question, but like, would he remember that game? Like, you know what? He'd be like, yeah, man, we were embarrassed by that. Like, do you think that's a game where he circled and was like, oh, we had to be better?
I'll bet you he could detail a lot. Like, they only lost 10 times the whole season.
So he would almost remember all 10 times, but like that one, I think, would be the stinger that year.
It was an expansion team. Like, I'm pretty sure it was at the Rogers Center. It was at the Dome.
But was it like
it was a
basketball Sunday
game.
At noon or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it was. It was one of those, I think, 12:30 tip-offs. And
yeah.
I've told you this before. I interviewed John Sally years ago, and Sally was on that team. And he's like, we landed in Toronto on the Saturday, and we all took it real deep that night because it was a new city. Right?
Yeah.
Like, Toronto, it was their first season. A lot of guys, they hadn't even been there before. They had heard stories.
Yeah.
Toronto's got a reputation of being a pretty fun town.
Yeah.
If you know the right spots. And they had lost, like, 7 games all season. And they're like, this team is brutal. It's an expansion
team.
They're
looking at the roster and saying, we're going to rinse these
absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely. And the Raptors found a way to win that game. And it was close. They won, I think, 109-108. So you move that aside.
Right.
And then you get into where they're actually a legitimate franchise now, 22 years later. And them going into Oracle and winning by 20 points without Kawhi Leonard on a back-to-back.
Seems like right up.
Incredibly impressive. So we're going to obviously talk a lot about that throughout the afternoon. But you go from one platform game last night.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how many people listening right now had the opportunity to watch the whole game because I think it started at 10:30. I was up until like 1:30 in the morning last night.
Yeah.
To another platform game tonight featuring the other big team in town that's on a heater, and that would be the Maple Leafs in Tampa Bay.
Right.
And these are the two top teams in the NHL based on points. Immensely talented. And to put it into perspective, to use what the Raptors did last night and to apply it to tonight, I don't think it's possible for the Leafs to match it. Because as good as the Lightning are, like Golden State, they're freaks.
Well,
you know, they're a dynasty. Exactly. Exactly. Like, there's no equivalent to going into Golden State and winning by 20. The Leafs win by 7 tonight. It doesn't even match the impressive nature of the Raptor win.
I was going through Tampa last night, and, like, you think about it. This is, and I don't want to, like, scare a Leaf fan, but, like, Tampa's been a hell of a team for, what, 4 or 5 years? Now, there was 1 year where they were all banged up and they missed the playoffs. But they've been to the finals, they've been near the top of the standings, and they've been deemed kind of elite for what? Let's say 4 years? Would it be four?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
3-4 years.
For sure.
And I think that's where the Leafs are going to be, like, be deemed in that same stratosphere. And, you know, Tampa hasn't been able to finish it off. Like, that's how hard it is to win in the National Hockey League. You want to be there, and you want to be part of that elite group, which the Leafs are doing. But the scary part is like, Tampa's loaded with talent. The Leafs are loaded with talent. And you're right. Like, they play tonight. If the Leafs win by 7, like, they beat another elite team. They didn't beat the Cup champs. They didn't beat the, you know, that's a different story. But it's a great measuring stick to see how you're measuring up against another team that is right there.
Absolutely. And it's a big game for the standings because...
Mm-hmm. 6 points ahead.
They're six up. They got a game in hand. That's Tampa that has that, obviously. And yeah, the Leafs have a chance to roll in there. If you can win in regulation tonight, you put yourself in a spot where you got to stay within striking distance.
Yes.
You know, because that's really what you're fighting for at this point. If I think whoever wins the division is going to have top spot in the East. Which means if you're lucky enough and you get rolling, you're gonna have home ice throughout the East.
Well, and,
like, that's
and
big. It's not just the first round and avoiding Boston or
that's
whoever.
That's what it is. It's critical for me because now you're facing a wild card team that may just fight. It could be Montreal that fights to get in there. It could be Buffalo could drop that. Like, there's going to be different scenarios. When I was looking at it last night, like, and I don't think anybody is out of line saying, like, we think it's going to be any combination of Tampa, Boston, and Toronto as far as top three. I think Buffalo can be there, but I think Boston gets healthy. They're a very good team, and they're still treading water without two of their big boys in the lineup.
Those are the three best teams in the division.
Right.
Regardless of how it shakes out, maybe something strange happens. But
right. And I like
full
Buffalo.
Out, those are the three best teams.
But I like Buffalo, too. But I'm just saying, like, when you're looking at it, it'd be nice to have home ice, but, like, first would be, could put you in a different mindset.
Changes your whole path.
Exactly.
It can change your whole path. And again, it's putting the cart before the horse because they haven't won a playoff series yet.
Right.
So the first, you know, you got to crawl before walk and before you sprint. But if you are willing to put the cart before the horse, and I think there are a lot of people that are doing that because the Leafs are very talented and it's you're in a cup window.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, finishing first overall in the East, what that allows you to do is face a wild card team, which would conceivably be, you know, a better position than whoever finishes third in your division.
Right.
But also, it sets up, like I said, home ice throughout the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
You know, like, Game 7 will be in your building if it gets to that point in the first, second, and third round. Because Washington's on fire right now. I don't think they're going to finish first overall in the East. I think it's going to be either Tampa or Toronto. Personally, because you look at, like, Tampa's 10 points up on Washington.
Yeah.
So now, Tampa is the team. Like, that's why tonight is, like, the Leafs are underdogs. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
Not substantial underdogs, but they are underdogs in Tampa's building.
Tampa's won 7 in a row.
They're loaded.
9-1.
And now Vasilevsky's coming back, and we believe he's playing tonight.
Which can be a blessing, and it also can be a detriment, because if the team's like, okay, now we've treaded water without this guy, like, I think Vasilevsky can have some rust on his game, some timing issues, not to the extent of William Nylander, more like Matthews. He can look good, but the timing and wind may not be there. Like, that's just, when you're out for a substantial amount of time, nothing replaces game shape like playing games. Austin hit the ground running from a statistical standpoint, but there were nights where you're like, yeah, the guy scored 2, and he didn't look like Austin Matthews, mm-hmm. like night in and night out. William Nylander's getting better and better. Vasilevsky could go through that. I would argue that he will. Now, tonight he could play on adrenaline, be excited to get back and stand on his head, but there will be a little dip where the body's still catching up to, you know, the wind and the timing. So it either way, like, what do you think of this game? I was trying to think coming in today, like, does this look like a 7-6 or does this look like a 3-2? Like,
I think based on the firepower, it's more likely to be a high scoring game, but it feels like it's going to be a game chock full of skill. You know, it's going to be high pace. Whoever can control the neutral zone or slow down the opposition is going to be in a good position to win.
Right.
But these are always the ones where you hype it up that way, and then it turns out to be it's a 1-0 game.
Well,
with dust-ups everywhere. Like, I was thinking about that today. Like, what is more likely to happen or less likely to happen? This game ends up 1-0, or it ends up, like, choppy and there's scrums and there's fights, because no one's anticipating either of those two options.
You're right.
And people are thinking 5-4, you know, some stick work, maybe a couple of power plays based on pace and possession and stuff, but almost like an all-star game tonight. And it can go any which way. You never know.
I also think that both teams could be very careful going in, which would lead to very tentative hockey and kind of, like you said, choppy. Every time there's a build up for something, you're like, oh, this guy's been pulled, you know, five games in a row. It's point night, or it's going to be this and that. It never happens that way. And I think both these teams are aware of how good the other one is. So the coaches are in their ear going, got to manage the puck properly or else it's going to be in the net. So whenever players and coaches get in that mindset, the skill guys play a little bit more tentative. And it'll be interesting to see who leaves it all out there and says, to hell with it, like, we're going to go play. And another team may try and clog it up and slow things down, slow the pace. And I wouldn't say dump and chase, because neither one of these teams are like that, but managing the puck, to me, is very critical tonight. And the Leafs, you know, they try that stretch pass so many times.
That's their bread and butter.
It is their bread and butter, but at least it takes the fight out of the zone. Teams are starting to be aware of that, so now you've got to work around it. You may have to skate it up. That's where the D is relied on a little bit more. So I think there'll be more tactical approach, which could lead us to a potentially lower score.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be, I hope it's deserving of the hype. You know, last night, again, with the Raptors, because Kawhi wasn't going, and we didn't really know about that until closer to the game, but it felt like he probably wasn't going to play. And because they were coming off a game the night before.
Yeah. I thought they were going to get rinsed.
I think honestly, a lot of people do. Like, we debated, could they cover the number?
Well,
not could they win, let alone win by 20. Could they keep it close where you say, they lost by 5, not bad? Like, could there be a moral victory in defeat here tonight?
When I saw the email, I think it was from Josh Lewenberg, that's like, Kawhi out, I was like, ooh. Like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, that's your...
You're expecting Durant now is going to go off for 50-plus again.
Yeah.
Like, the truth is, that was one of the worst games I've seen Steph Curry play, to the point where, by the third quarter, and the Raptors did a great job on him, Lowry and Fred, and, I mean, it's a whole team defense kind of thing, and they were... I thought they were attacking him on the offensive end as well. They made him work defensively. But it got to a point where he wasn't even included in the offense.
Right.
You know, they were like, forget it. You gotta dish off. He was basically just diverting it away from himself.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson was cold as ice. That's twice they played him in the past 3 weeks, and Klay has done nothing.
Yeah.
So listen, it was a great win, and I think the hype wasn't as intense because of the built-in narrative that this will be a tough one for the Raptors. Right. I don't think that applies to the Leafs tonight. You're healthy. You've been in Florida for a couple of days. The mums are on the trip. Let's get rocking, and we'll see what we got tonight.
Yeah, the mums look like they're enjoying themselves a little bit.
Do you think they still have a dad's trip, or is it just mums?
I think they do, but I don't know if it's... It may alternate years, right? Like, I was fortunate enough to have a dad's trip, which I thought was pretty cool. Like,
how long have they been doing these?
Well, I've been retired 10 years, and it was a couple years before that. So they've been doing it for a while, which is...
How does it work, though? Like, does the team pick up the whole bill?
Yeah, I mean, basically, the parents, the dad, like, just jumps on the charter with you, right?
Right, so and then you share the room or whatever, I think.
Room.
But, like, you're going out for dinner and stuff. Would Tannenbaum be putting down the...
I think there's, like, a team.
The
I think
Amex
there's, like,
and...
a team. Yeah, there'll be a meal planned at, like, the Palm or the Mortons or something. But they're basically doing what you do on the road. I remember my dad saying to me, he's like, I've never eaten so much in my life, because that's all we do is eat and sleep and travel. But he was dead tired. We played a back-to-back, Arizona-Dallas. And, you know, you fly in the day before, the dads were golfing, having beers, loving it up. And there's always a ringleader for the dads, too.
Who's got big plans for the trip.
Yeah, and they're having a great time. And, you know, I think they loved it as far as the camaraderie. Because the dads got together. They've never really been in that scenario before. And then your dad sits with you on the plane. So they allot... You know, where you sit, they find a spot for him.
That's
I thought it's a really cool thing. And to me, it also, I wouldn't say it's a distraction. It's a positive distraction, because every player wants to play well for their parent. Like, you don't want to show up and be a dud that night. Like, your mom or your dad.
I'd be curious to find out the stats of, you know, these mom and dad trips and what the numbers actually look like.
We went 0-2. I know that.
Yeah, there you
go. Daryl was not happy.
So you guys wanted to play well, but it didn't happen.
Daryl gave us a stern speech afterwards about the parents being involved. It's like, oh, your parents watch you, you know, do what you're basically. Parents saw what I see every day, you know, but it was. It's a good way to break up the season too.
Someone texting in is in today. We'll find out next. All right, NFL Hall of Famer Rod Woodson will join us in about 5 minutes. Big, big night tonight in the NFL as well. L.A. Chargers in Kansas City taking on the Chiefs, and this is the battle for the AFC West. I think this is the fourth Showtime game for Patrick Mahomes. And Philip Rivers doesn't have a great history against this team, but he's got a chance to exercise some demons tonight. So we'll tee up that game with the Hall of Famer Rod Woodson. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, and the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill.
Had to do the old Christmas concert today. Thought I would be here on time. Wrong.
I was there. I did one, too.
401 was just an absolute gong show.
Yeah, I got lucky. My daughter's Christmas concert was 1:30 to 2:30. They had some technical difficulties, too.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, this one did, too, but it was 2 o'clock. 2:45, I'm like, I got an hour and 15 to get to work. No problem. Get on the 401. I'm like, no way.
Not happening.
Not fun.
No.
The kids had fun, though, I'm sure. Did your daughters participate? Like, did they sing and stuff?
Full participants, singing, dancing.
Yeah, I kind of have an appreciation. My kid's still in daycare. She's not in school. So
you'll get there.
First couple of years, they did a Christmas concert. But, like, the first time, she was... 13 months old, they literally walk her out, they'd all sit there and the teachers would be ringing bells and then they'd leave. This year the daycare just said, we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah,
so they stopped doing it and they did something different, like a Christmas market or whatever. But I have an appreciation for that. I think as they get older you understand that they're going to do it, but like daycare, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, they can't sing, they can't keep their attention span
in check long enough. That were doing
you're just doing it for the parents, basically, so the parents can get in there with their iPhones and be right in their faces and saying, sing, sing, sing.
I had a gentleman come up and say, big fan of Overdrive, say hi to O-Dog for me.
Wow.
That's what he said.
This one was double performance. Like, you had the option to go at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then there was another one tonight at 8.
Really?
Yeah. Same. Ours tough. Is 1:30 and 6:30, so Steph's going in at 6:30.
All right, then.
Be fun, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kids are having fun.
Get festive, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of this, did you guys hear about this story out of England where there was a Santa?
Costanza?
And, yes, if you're familiar with Seinfeld and Costanza and... What was the clown's name in that?
It wasn't Krusty.
It was like a real name. It was like Peter the Clown, and George was all out of whack because of that. But he was at some kid's Christmas party, and there was a fire, or there was smoke, and he ran out, and he just dusted everybody on his way out. I guess this Santa was a big fan of that scene, because there were a bunch of kids, and I think they must have been at a mall or a strip mall or something like that, and a fire alarm went off. And everyone started evacuating, and everyone kind of kept their cool, except for Santa.
He did Brucey Boudreaux?
He yelled, no. He started yelling, get the F out, took his gear off, and charged towards the door.
Like mowing people over.
And I guess the parents were just, like, horrified. Shock and awe that this guy would break character that quickly and then go full Lawrence Taylor and just...
So what do you expect the guy to do? Be like, I'm Santa. This is not a problem. Be calm.
Well, if the kids are like, okay, let's all shuffle over here and start walking out, why can't this guy react the same way?
I go full bad Santa on them. Who was the character that did bad Santa?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton, yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
So you think this guy's heroic because he is taking it seriously, and he thinks it's important for people to acknowledge the significance of a fire alarm.
Gear off, and I will push people out of the way. I want to be safe.
Santa could be one of the best movies ever put together.
All time.
Like, if you like that type of dark comedy, like, it's, you know, he tunes up the kids. But when he's eating the salad... And the lady's like, "Who's Xander?" Like,
I'm on my f-ing lunch break, okay? Yeah.
Well, the guy's whole lifestyle is just—it's bad news, man.
And the late John Ritter was in it.
Yeah,
he'd just get rattled when Billy Bob Thornton would talk about things.
People tweeting in, it was Eric the Clown.
Yeah, I looked it up. Eric the Clown.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it last night, like Christmas movies, and you know, you've got to expand your imagination, and you've got to allow for it. That's what Hollywood's all about. I mean, Mary Poppins is coming out.
Dude, every Christmas, Twitter lights on fire. Was Die Hard a Christmas movie or not? It's the same debate every year. Was this a Christmas movie or not?
I personally think it was.
Me too.
I think it's a great movie, and I consider it a Christmas movie, but Elf is a big thing for us right now.
I can't. Are you talking about Elf on the Shelf?
No, I'm talking about the movie Elf.
The movie
like Will
with
Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. He's awesome.
Again.
When he's like, Santa, he gets so pumped up.
But I don't, you know what I think got lost on me? Because I think it's a very creative movie. It's a quality movie. It's on all the time. And it's on repeat at my house right now.
Yeah.
But Buddy the Elf actually hooks up with Jovi at the end of the movie. And it's one of the all-time great, like, triumphs and halls in the history of cinema. This guy thinks he's an elf, and he ends up getting the girl in the end.
I know.
I can't watch it again. People love it. My girlfriend loves it. I can't watch it. I don't know. I think it's dumb.
It is stupid.
Like, when he's eating the spaghetti and all the fruit on it and the
I think
I can't watch it.
The four food groups. Candy corns, it's syrup, awesome. Or whatever the hell it is.
I can't do it.
I know, but if you watch something at nauseam, you're just sick of it. That's what it is.
Yeah, more or less. Home Alone, I actually haven't seen Home Alone yet, which I'm shocked by. Usually it's on repeat on like three different channels.
Yeah.
But that's another one. Like, we're supposed to believe these two idiots can't catch an eight-year-old kid. Or in Home Alone 2, Marv takes four bricks off the head.
I know.
He survives.
Remember, every year we talked about it. The amount of damage that Marv would have gone through, like in those where he steps on the nail, he gets the iron in the face.
Dude, he gets electrocuted to the point where you see his skull. And then he survives somehow.
I know. Anyway, like a Marv injury update or something.
It's outstanding. It's hilarious. Very, very well done.
Yeah.
All right, we got a big game tonight on Thursday Night Football. I think this might be the most important Thursday Nighter maybe of all time, like this late in the season. Well, we're this late into the season, and if the Chargers win tonight, they're both 11-3. This is prime time. This is exactly what you want. Chiefs, Chargers, and to tee it up, we're joined by a longtime NFLer, Hall of Famer, one of the best of all time, making his debut here on Overdrive. Here is Rod Woodson. How you doing, Rod?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Is that an outlandish statement from my perspective, that this is one of the all-time great late-season Thursday night matchups?
I can't remember all the Thursday night matchups, so if you can and make that statement, then, hey, have at it.
It's a good one, though, isn't it, tonight?
It is a good one. It really is. I mean, you know, you're talking about a divisional rival. They know each other. The running backs are kind of all banged up and beat up on both sides. Gordon is kind of a game-time decision, even though probably not. I know he's feeling better, but they'll probably, the coaches and I think the training staff will probably err on the side of caution that he's still feeling anything to keep him for the postseason. But it's going to be a great game. So I think, you know, since the running backs are banged up and beat up, it's a divisional game. We might see over 100 passes on both sides of the ball. They're just going to toss it up and see if these defenses can stop them.
Well, as a Hall of Fame corner yourself, if you're walking into a game like this and you're thinking the running backs are not going to get a ton of touches, there's going to be a lot of balls in the air, Does that excite you? I mean, how would you react playing in a game like tonight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we used to play the run and shoot. So when we played the Houston Oilers back in the day when Warren Moon was just throwing the ball all over the place, you know, so at the beginning of the week, we would say, hey, guys, you better get your track shoes on. So we would, all the DBs would do extra running. We would do extra either running on the treadmill, we'd be doing some biking. We're doing something to get some cardio in because we know come game day, we're going to be doing a lot of running around because the receivers, they can have about two or three go routes or nine routes, what we call them, and they get to come off the field. Well, DB's got to stay on the field, so we have to stay in shape. So those type of games are exciting because you're going to have a lot of opportunities to make some big plays for your football team.
Rod, where are you at with Phillip Rivers? Is he one of the game's elites? There's always the debate. Is he a Hall of Famer? Is he a guy that just plays well? I'm familiar with him because I lived in North Carolina for years, and he played with NC State, then he went to the NFL. Where are you at with Phillip Rivers? Is he one of the guys that's regarded as a Hall of Famer and one of the best?
Well, he definitely has played well. You know, I think what's going to hurt Phillip, the one thing I don't look at is the numbers, especially in today's football, because it's easy to throw and catch today. But Phillip has been doing it for a long time. He's always been a solid player, a great quarterback. He doesn't have all the physical attributes of a quarterback because he can't run from here to 5 yards in 20 seconds, but he can run. I mean, he can duck his shoulder. He can throw the football down the field. He's having a great year. I think he's 37 years old. He's having a great year. The one negative is everybody's going to talk about when he does retire and the 5 years pass is that his postseason. Can he win games in the postseason? Can he get his game or his team to the big dance? At least to be there, not even win it, just to be there. That will be the only negative that I can talk about or think about Phillip Rivers. Other than that, his time in the National Football League has been outstanding.
With Pro Football Hall of Famer and Super Bowl champ Rod Woodson, big Thursday night or tonight. You can watch it on TSN, the Chargers at the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is essentially redshirted last year. It kind of feels like he's a rookie this year. And when he hit the scene, he hit it with some serious ambition and did some serious damage immediately. And I think this is his fourth primetime game where it's all, you know, all about him and the focus will be on him. I've been so impressed as a player. You know, as a guy who would try to shut down a guy like this, how special has Mahomes been, in your opinion?
I'm really impressed with him. I mean, the no-look pass he had last week, like he's a point guard on the basketball court, was just crazy. I've never seen anything like that. He's exciting to watch because he's going to make plays like that fourth and forever that he had, and he rolled out to the right, being chased by multiple defenders, and he slings it down the field, and Tyreek Hill comes from nowhere and catches it. I mean, those are the type of things they've been doing all year long. You know, those type of plays won't continue consistently for a player like that because he reminds everybody of Brett Favre because he believes in his arm strength. He's going to throw the ball like he knows he can throw it. He can throw it in tight windows. He can throw it down the field. And this guy's going to jump up and catch it. In his career, though, it'll catch up to him. But right now, his first year really starting, he's making a name for himself in Kansas City. People love to see that excitement there in Kansas City, but people love to watch that type of football in the National Football League.
That's kind of where I was going. I mean, the no-look pass was fantastic, but is it sustainable? Is it important that he kind of, you know, just keeps it in perspective and doesn't try to get too goofy back there? Because ultimately it'll end up costing his team if he tries too many. I've never seen a play like that. I don't know if you can even do more creative than that. Just kind of once in a while, just do that. But for the most part, just continue to be a quarterback.
Yeah, you have to be careful. If fourth and 17 and rolling out to your right and throwing the ball back across the field in the middle of the field and it get caught, and that's the way you have to win week in and week out, that's not sustainable. But those short plays like that no look pass. I mean, he's been doing it all year long, and You know, you don't want to put a damper on him. You know, I think the one thing Andy Reid has let him be him inside of Andy Reid's system. And it's not a normal quarterback. You know, he's not staying in the pocket. He's kind of running all over the place. It's like sandlot football. It's like what we used to do on Reynolds Street in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We used to draw our plays up and go, hey, Now I need you to get open. It'd be about 10 seconds later, but I need you to get open. And then guys get open, and he makes plays, and he's been doing it all year long. I don't think it is sustainable. I don't think that's going to happen 5 years down the road. Because once he gets a little bit older, he slows down a little bit. You know, a defensive lineman hits him, you know, somewhere where he probably shouldn't, and he gets hurt. Then he's got to protect himself. But right now, it's exciting to watch. I know that all the Kansas City fans are happy that he's there, and he's making a lot of big plays for this football team.
I feel like maybe the most impressive feat for him again has been how he's just completely changed the image of that organization. You know, they got a long, rich history, and Alex Smith had a couple of quality years there, but Matt Castle didn't. You got to go back to probably Trent Green when he had a couple of big years. But the Chiefs are one of those, you know, Midwestern cities. You just mentioned it. You're from the Midwest. They don't get a ton of love, and very rarely are they getting flexed to prime time.
They get a ton of love as far as people that say you have to go to that building.
The stadium is outstanding in terms of the noise and stuff. But Mahomes has shown up, and now you can't miss these guys. Like, you have to watch the Chiefs because of him.
It's a must-watch TV. They are exciting. You know, having him and Tyreek Hill, who is arguably one of the fastest football players in the National Football League. You also have, you know, you still have Black Mamba there, number 13. I mean, he's still there. They don't have their running game like they did. You know, that issue with Hunt, he's not there anymore. Them releasing him. You know, Ware is, he's out today. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward. Is, you know, does he need to even run the ball? That's going to be the thing. I mean, everybody talks about, you know, the passing game and how it's, like, changed and morphed into this, like, basically it looks like a slot machine on steroids. The wheel's just always turning. But after September, normally you have to run the football. Bad weather places, you want to make sure you take care of the ball. You don't put a lot of pressure on a quarterback. When you put too much pressure on a quarterback and he has to drop back, you make them make an offense one-dimensional. They're only one-dimensional. Really, the advantage should go to the defense because they know they can't run it, making them stay back in coverages. So you got to hope that somewhere along the line that the Kansas City Chiefs can find a running game and take a little pressure off of Patrick Mahomes. But right now, it doesn't seem like he needs to take that pressure off, but he's having fun with it.
He's on Twitter at RodWoodson26, Pro Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ. Real pleasure to have you on. Thank you for doing this, Rod. Enjoy the game tonight.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for talking to me.
There he is. Hall of Famer Rod Woodson. And, you know, this debate about who's going to win the MVP, and I flip-flopped, I got to be honest. Now I look at Mahomes and what he's done recently, and what I just said about him single-handedly changing the image of the team.
Well, it was Breeze for a lock for weeks.
Right. As like a lifetime achievement award. Not to take anything away from what he's done. He's been spectacular. But you look at the numbers by Mahomes, they're scary good. But Mahomes, I think, has now done to Kansas City what Breeze did in New Orleans when he showed up. Like, the Saints were a nothing kind of laughingstock team. And the Chiefs weren't a laughingstock team. They've been a playoff team. But when Breeze showed up, and he started working with Sean Payton, and they started putting up numbers, and then they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
that's what Mahomes has done with the Chiefs. Like, single-handedly, you have to see them play because of him.
Must see TV. Kurt Warner with the Rams when they had that.
Absolutely. Great, best show on turf.
Yeah. But Warner came out of nowhere. Like, wasn't he it was arena football.
He was playing arena football, yeah.
Because I remember, I was in St. Louis at the time. Like, I remember, like, the whole story was, like, this guy was very nice person and stuff, but it kind of come from nowhere where, you know, Mahomes seems like...
Well, I think Mahomes went 12th overall. Like, he was a first-round pick.
Like,
absolutely.
That's what I mean. I think the expectation was quite high for Mahomes, where, you know, Warner was kind of like a Tim Thomas.
Yes.
Remember Tim Thomas showed up at like 29, 30 years old and then dominated for 3 or 4 years. Like, Warner was something like that.
Right. And Mahomes is lucky because, and now Warner was too. He rolled in and Marshall Faulk was there. And,
yeah, they had some,
you know, they had
some players.
Yes, they had Holt and Isaac Bruce, and like they were a team that was loaded. But, and Mahomes has benefited from Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt prior to what happened and him getting released. And Andy Reid is a perfect coach for a guy like this. But you still got to go out there and do it.
Yeah, my neighbor was this guy named Lawrence Phillips.
Yes.
This guy was a disaster. I don't even know what this cat's up to now, but like
he got into some trouble at some point, didn't he? I feel like he might have.
I just remember he used to have this burgundy Hummer with like this ridiculous sound system, and he used to not even drive on the road. He'd drive up the side of this hill to get to his place. Like he was.
Why would you want to draw more attention to yourself if you're already an NFL player?
He was unique.
In a city like that where like
yeah.
It's kind of blue collar.
He was very noticeable.
Yeah, I can imagine. Rays coming up just after 5. We'll get back into the Raptors' win last night. Leafs in Tampa tonight. Big Thursday nighter. There's a lot going on outside the lines with reports on all of the big stadiums in North America in terms of sanitation and cleanliness. We'll tell you where the two big Toronto spots landed on the list. We'll get to that. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, I'll detail this outside the lines stadium piece at 5. We'll get to it at 5. Well, you know, it's one of these things where I'm not sure how many people really want to hear this kind of stuff, but also, even when they do, I don't think it changes their habits at all. I think you hear about what goes into your food or what could be going on wherever you buy food, and it's like...
You don't want to know. It's
okay.
Like that story that was going, like, saying that chicken nuggets were made of, like, that pink, like, foamy stuff or whatever. Like, I'll still eat them. Remember that story
about...
Yeah,
but I don't even know if that's true or not. I don't think it is, obviously, but I hear you. That, you know, you always hear different stories.
There
and different
are horror
things happen,
stories wherever you go.
Yeah,
if you're a regular at some place and you find out that there's people that are rude or ignorant...
Yeah, it's not good.
It's like, wow. It's not cool.
No, but you're not going to completely adjust your life. You can't live in fear, basically. You just kind of, you roll the dice.
Maybe you're a germaphobe.
Maybe don't be rude or ignorant.
Well, that's
but if you're a germaphobe, you're not going to like that story. Then.
No, of course not. But what are you going to do? You can't, what are you going to do if you are terrified of buying food outside of your grocery store and then personally cooking it at home?
There are people that just, do it at home. I mean,
dude, there was a loaf of bread a couple weeks ago that was found in a grocery store with a rat in it or a mouse.
Okay, I don't know if I can even do this. I was playing a big game, but now I'm getting...
You're getting queasy?
Yeah, I was trying to play hero, and I'm like, I'll relay the information.
Yeah, it's not good.
I think I'm done.
But I mean, that one was an outlier. Like, it happens, you know? You get maybe a mouse got into like a crate or something. Like, it happens. Like,
that's
you
right.
Don't
There's
expect you're not
going
to open a thing of Wonder Bread and everyone's going to have a mouse in it. Like, they're, you know, you can do the Bob and Doug McKenzie. Didn't they have a baby mouse? They put it in the beer can and tried to grow it. I know you remember. Like,
I remember Strange Brew.
Yeah.
Like, that movie is a strange. it is a really
weird
it
got
movie.
Dark.
It's really dark. Like, with the hockey players that are like
robots
programmed to only play, and then like it's really strange. You've seen Strange Brew?
No,
never seen Strange Brew.
But that's a long time ago. When did it come out?
But it's a Canadian classic. Well, Bob and Doug McKenzie.
How many times
I sit beside a Bob McKenzie every night? I don't need to watch.
I guarantee you, for a while, our Bob McKenzie at TSN probably like wouldn't that have been annoying? Like. The other most famous Bob McKenzie in Canada.
Absolutely. I don't remember who was Bob and who was Doug, because it was Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas.
Dave Thomas was Bob McKenzie, I believe.
Strange Brew is, I think it's a Canadian classic. Am I being off?
Well,
is that off? I think it's a Canadian classic.
We believe it's a Canadian classic, but
it's called Strange Brew.
Strange Brew.
You've never seen it?
SCTV?
SCTV was probably one of the greatest, and still is. Like, you'd think of the stars that came out of that. Rick Moranis, Martin Short, John Candy, Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, Andrea Martin.
Do you think Mike Myers kind of came up with Wayne's World, and in a way it was like a... kind of, he didn't steal the idea from Bob and Doug, but they had like a show where they were in the basement, right? Talking about beers and take off, and they're talking about like, you have no idea what we're talking about.
They were awesome.
Homie, don't play that.
Find a bunch of Strange Brew clips.
Yeah.
Mullen, you've never heard of this either?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
He's 27 years old.
Like, I'm 42. No,
I'm 35. I've seen Strange Brew easily 20 times.
Yeah, because you went to college and you ate pizza and did other things where one guy said, let's fire up Strange Brew.
Well, there's probably truth in that, but I'm telling you, I'd seen it as a kid. I've seen it. I can't believe you've never seen
it. They were legends.
Legends.
Legends in Canada.
All right. Lots of Strange Brew coming up.
I thought the two were just like losers that were part of Saturday Night Live that were like,
No.
Here's Bob and Doug McKenzie.
No. It was SCTV.
SCTV.
And
they were Tukes.
We're going to play some clips for
call
you.
Call people hosers.
I'm going to enlighten you on what's up with these guys. And Ray's coming up. I guarantee you Ray's seen Strange Brew.
Oh, for sure.
I'd be shocked.
Maybe he's a fanboy of it.
He could be.
We're going to go back there?
I don't know. William Nylander's playing tonight, I believe.
We'll have to chat about it.
We'll have to see what Ray has in terms of expectations for him. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This hour of Overdrive was powered by The Source. For expert advice on the very best holiday gifts, visit The Source and chat with one of their tech experts.